It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's time for the 33rd episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks for listening. This week I got a great interview with Arvid Nelson, the creator of Rex Mundi and Zero Killer, who writes the Warlord of Mars series of books and has a couple of other irons in the fire you're going to want to hear about that are coming up pretty soon. He's a very creative guy, and he's got a lot of interesting things going on. I think you're going to enjoy what he has to say. Then I'll give this week's reviews, followed by this week's news and previews with Ian Cullen and Gianluca Glazer. And then I'll take a peek and see what's in your local comic book store. So let's get to it. Okay, I'm talking today with Arvid Nelson, creator of such good things as Rex Mundi and working on the Warlord of Mars series, and have another book coming called Lord of the Jungle. And we'll get to talk about all those good things. How are you doing today, Arvid?
I'm great. How about you?
Good, good. Why don't we start off, I like to always do, with how you got into reading comics. Do you remember when you first started reading comics?
Yeah, you know, I read them sort of casually all throughout high school. I mean, I remember vividly the whole Image thing and how exciting that was. Honestly, I wasn't really that much of a comics reader. I guess I really started pursuing comics after college. I was interested in film. I worked on a Woody Allen movie one summer. And yeah, that was kind of an intense experience. Actually, I worked on a Troma movie too, The Toxic Avenger Part 4, Citizen Party.
Okay.
Yeah. That was crazy. We were sleeping in like a rat infested warehouse in Poughkeepsie, New York. And like,
oh boy.
Yeah. I remember one day I felt bad. It was like we were in downtown Poughkeepsie, which is already not the happiest place in the world. Mm-hmm. And we were ordered to like dump out trash cans everywhere to make it look even more post-apocalyptic.
Oh goodness.
But we did clean up everything actually, but felt terrible. But yeah, film was a little stressful. So I guess comics for me, writing Rex Mundi as a comic was a way to tell it with a big $1 million budget for actually a fraction of the cost. So yeah, that's how it was, really kind of a tactical decision.
That's interesting because a lot of people read them when they're young and then they grow up. And you're one of another group, people who have been involved with filmmaking
Get
into comics. I just find that such an interesting transition.
Very tangentially. I was a production assistant on the Woody Allen thing. So I was just the lowest of the low. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I always loved comics. I was always a big Iron Man fan. I mostly read Marvel comics. Mm-hmm. There's a comic called Martial Law. I don't know if you know it.
Yeah.
Loved that one in high school. Loved it. You know, and I remember reading Todd McFarlane's Spider-Man very, very vividly in high school. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I always loved comics, but I was never – no, I definitely didn't eat, sleep, and breathe it the way some people did.
Okay. Well, Martial Law, I remember, was a British comic. It was part of 2000 AD, if I remember correctly.
Was it really? I don't even know. Yeah.
Crazy comic. British comics are always the farther out ones. And
I loved it. I thought it was great. It was great social commentary, sort of a deconstruction of Superman. I think it's just brilliant. I love the art too. Kevin O'Neill, isn't that the artist?
Yes. Pat O'Neill. Pat Neill, I think it is.
It looks like it was written by Pat Mills and the artist was Kevin O'Neill.
Ah, so you're faster on that than I am.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. But yeah, it was a crazy series. It was in the vein of Judge Dredd and all these other really interesting things. And did that pave the way for you coming up with Rex Mundi, who's an interesting character? I really like the character a lot.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I guess maybe it did. Man, I just think Kevin O'Neill, I guess he did the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen too. I think he's just great. Oh, man, he's just one of my favorite artists. Yeah, I guess it did. It has that darkness. I mean, I liked Martial Law. I thought it really genuinely there's something interesting to say about life and society and Western culture and all that stuff.
So how did the idea for Rex Mundi hit you then, as far as getting it together and making it into a viable character?
I was actually in Paris. Mm-hmm. The comic is set in Paris, and I was working on a documentary film, and I was completely useless on the film. I was just holding camera bags. The whole thing was shot on mini DV, like one of those tiny little cameras. Mm-hmm. So there weren't even really like bags to hold, but I was just standing around Paris like a complete and total idiot for 3 days. And I'd never been to Europe before, and it just kind of got my mind going. I've always been interested in Christianity and Western mysticism. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess a lot of things were just bubbling around the air at the time. I mean, it's interesting that whatchamacallit?
Da Vinci Code?
Da Vinci Code, yeah, yeah. It was written around the same time. And I mean, just to be clear, Rex Mundi came out first. I published the first issue of Rex Mundi a good year before Da Vinci Code hit the stands. But I guess there was just something kind of in the air at the time.
Yeah, that or in the water or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something, all the creativity started to hit. It's a really cool character. I enjoy what you do with him. I like the fact that it's something very different. I enjoy my Long John superheroes, but every once in a while, and that happens on a much more regular basis these days, I want something that's a little different. I want something that tells me a different kind of story. And Rex Mundi does that very well, I think.
Thank you very much. Yeah, if I'd known what I was getting into, I probably wouldn't have done it if I'd known how crazy and difficult it would have been to finish it. So, yeah,
it's interesting because it comes out under Dark Horse. They do these kind of good things. Now, the thing that fascinates me most about Rex Mundi is that I understand Johnny Depp is producing a film based on the character.
Yeah, that's my understanding too.
Okay, well, how does this work? I don't understand how this, you know, because you're in films, you probably know how these things operate much better than I do. Did he buy the rights to it? Is that how this works?
Yeah, it's all a little bit opaque to me too. So, yeah, so if you're confused, it is a little bit confusing the way it works in general. My understanding is that he has a production company. Mm-hmm. And that once you've attained a certain level of success in Hollywood, you're able to have more creative control. More control is like a producer. So he is one of the producers on it, and it is being produced through Warner Brothers. Mm. So, yes, his company has the option, and it is at Warner Brothers.
Okay. Now, I saw a couple of months ago they picked up the writers from Tron Legacy.
Yeah.
Brian Klugman and Lee Sternthal, I think that's pronounced. And so they're obviously moving forward with it. But it doesn't sound like to me like you're in the loop with this at all. You're finding out with the rest of us what's going on.
Well, I mean, I've had a lot of experiences working on licensed properties, I guess, for lack of a better word, licensed characters, Cull being a primary example. So I'm basically the licensor in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I think a good licensor just lets the people who are working on it do their thing. I mean, there are already so many cooks in the kitchen with the movie. The last thing they need is me putting in my 2 cents. It's the last thing that they need. So they definitely keep me updated to an extent that I feel really comfortable with. I mean, I've seen the treatment that they wrote. I think it's awesome. I think it's great. I'm really excited to see the script. But other than that, I just really try to stay out of the way.
Folks that are interested in getting ready for that movie can buy you. We have 6 trade paperbacks of Rex Mundi out.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. And you have a website too that I find interesting. It's rexmundi.net. Yeah. And you provide all kinds of good things. You're taking full advantage of the website using, you can describe what the characters are. There's a part I like called Codex Mundi. I like that. Yeah. There's settings and all kinds of interesting things. So if people want to get ready for the movie, they can go to the website and pick up the trades and get an idea as to what they're in for. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Yeah, that website ended up being its own little minor crusade against reality. But it's done.
Well, that's good. I liked it very well. As somebody who works on websites, I like the look of it a lot. I think it's kind of fun. And while we're on the topic of websites, you have your website too, arvidnelson.com. So if people want to keep up with what you're up to, they can go there. Yeah. Now, there was another book that you created, and this one was one I'm not all that familiar with.
Maybe Zero Killer?
Zero Killer. That's what it is. Zero Killer. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
Yeah, it's sort of heartbreaking to me. I think people, including my wife and my mother, have read Zero Killer. Really, that was kind of inspired by 9/11 and some of the reactions against 9/11. Mm-hmm. It's science fiction. It's Akira meets the Warriors. It's set in New York City. New York City has been flooded. So each tower, each skyscraper is kind of its own little micro universe, kind of sticking up out of the water. And each skyscraper is inhabited by a gang, just like in the Warriors. And yeah, it's basically an adventure story. I don't want to give away too much, but basically everyone wants to go to this mystical place called Africa because there was a nuclear war in 1973, and people say Africa wasn't hit by the bombs. So that's where everyone's trying to go.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm looking at the website now. Of course, that's zerokiller.com. You've got all kinds of good websites.
Yeah.
If they want information, they can just go to the web and find out good things.
They sure can. Yeah, all 5 of you.
It sounds like an interesting story to me. I'm going to have to go after it. It says that the trade paperback is available in stores, or you can get it through Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazon would be glad for the business, I'm sure, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was so happy. I feel like Zero Killer deserved more from the world. I mean, obviously, I wrote it, but not just for the writing. Matt Camp, the artist, did such an amazing job with the art. David Stewart colored it. Mm-hmm. My God. both those guys, the story totally aside, both those guys deserve Eisners for the work that they did on it. I mean, it was just absolutely first rate. Every page of Zero Killer is a treasure.
Well, I'm sold on it. I'm going to go after it when I get done talking with you and go see if I can get a copy of it, because it looks cool to me. I love something that has a different take on things.
Yeah.
Most comics are ongoing things with things that can never resolve. You know, you get minor, you know, cosmetic changes will happen, but we have to end up where we started because you got to have the next issue.
Yeah.
So this looks to me like this is a very unique situation. I like those kinds of things. I really am sold on that.
Thanks.
So that's very good. Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and get into your work for Dynamite.
Yeah.
You've been doing Warlord of Mars based on John Carter, and rather successfully, apparently, because there's several different comics coming out.
It's done pretty well.
So that's pretty good. So how did you get involved with doing those books?
You know, it was one of those magical things. Nick Barucci at Dynamite just called me up and said, do you want to do it? And I, of course, said yes. And I took it from there. I actually hadn't read a lot of Edgar Rice Burroughs beforehand, to my shame. I guess I was a little worried it would be difficult to read because it was so old. But I was really, really surprised at how modern and accessible the stories were. I mean, to me, the Edgar Rice Burroughs Mars novels, it's just such a beautifully modern, well-developed science fiction world. Every bit as good as something like Dune or will be another example, Star Trek, something like that.
And you know, the thing of it is I like that the alien names are really alien, and there's nothing like it from my exposure. And I mean, I'm a Star Trek fan and I'm in science fiction.
Yeah.
The words are very unique. You know, oftentimes you go into a word and say, oh, that sounds like Klingon, or that sounds like this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
But even today, I don't think any of the races are mimicked in any way. I think it's very unique.
Yeah, it's unique. Edgar Rice Burroughs came up with great names for his characters. So just that kind of invented language that he came up with is just one of the best things about that whole series.
Well, the books are fun. I've been reading the comics. Mm. And like you, I never read the Edgar Rice Burroughs, so this was actually my first exposure.
Yeah, oh, good. Well, we tried to stay pretty close to the originals. We did have, of course, we had to end up making some big changes, but it's one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of things.
Right. They're great fun reading. I enjoy them. I was sort of sad when at the end of one of the recent comics, he ended up going back to Earth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and if this is going to follow any way that I know, and again, I haven't read the books, but I'm just guessing that he'll have to get back to Mars at some point.
Yeah, I would say that is possible, even probable.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, being an experienced comic reader sometimes give me hints about these things.
Huh? Yeah, yeah.
And Deja Thoris is one of people's favorite characters. She's got her own book.
Yeah.
It's been going on. And I always get a kick of how somebody that voluptuous can run around with basically little pasties on and survive. It's very difficult. But, you know, maybe they're built that way. They can do those things on Mars much better than we could.
You know, it's funny. The original Mars novels actually describe everybody as completely naked.
Oh, wow.
Completely naked. So, again, we try to walk the fine line between staying original and making it so it's not totally over the top. Hopefully we succeed.
It's fun. I love the book. And the artwork is gorgeous, I have to say. And the story's fun. Artwork is fun to look at. So it's a great, great book. I like them all. You know, I've been buying them all. Like I said, this is my first exposure to it. I'm sure somewhere down the pike I knew something about it. But this is my chance to get back and put my toe into the water of this world. And I really like what's going on with it.
Yeah.
So it's great fun comics. You know, as I was talking with you before we started to record, a certain other company has also jumped down the bandwagon. So apparently you're doing very well and encouraging other people to get into John Carter's works as well.
Yeah, who knew? No, yeah, exactly. Finally, something I'm writing is financially successful. For the coming apocalypse, I'm sure.
So have you actually looked at Marvel's books?
Yeah, I think they're great. They're doing a great job. I think it's distinctive from ours. I think it's a great story, and there's room for as many adaptations in the market as there are good adaptations. So, yeah, I'm just excited and thrilled to be able to sit back and read it.
Well, my worry is that they're going to oversaturate. That you jumped in first. You guys made the thing profitable, and if Marvel jumps in, and all of a sudden we've got all these John Carter books running around telling somewhat of the same stories, I'm just worried that eventually the bubble will burst.
Yeah, it might, but, you know, I guess that's the free market. You know, that's just the way it works. And maybe one series will have success, maybe another won't. But competition in that sense isn't necessarily a bad thing. And yeah, I think they're doing a great job. So more power to them.
Well, I'm rooting for yours to succeed. Marvel's got enough success. You can, you guys can stand a little bit. So
yeah.
Warlord of Mars. Now, you're going to continue doing that?
Yeah, I sure am. In fact, we're just getting to Gods of Mars, which is the second novel, is my personal favorite. It's the Empire Strikes Back of the Mars novel. So starting with issue 13, we'll get into that. And that's going to be great. Looking forward to that.
Very cool. Well, you're going to be keeping busy because you've got another series coming called Lord of the Jungle. And, of course, those of us who are familiar with Tarzan know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I guess at this point we should talk about the fact that you're not using John Carter name and not using the Tarzan name.
Right.
You're using other stuff. We were talking about this earlier, that it's likely because of trademark issues that it's probably best to proceed without those.
Right.
That's a mixed bag because people recognize the name Tarzan. Lord of the Jungle, they might not know as much. Those of us who are Tarzan fans know who you're talking about when you say that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Going into it, you have an educational challenge ahead of you because you're going to have to educate people as to who this character is without actually saying the name.
Yeah. My understanding is we are using the name Tarzan in the context of the story is okay. Mm-hmm. And I guess it gets in the difference between trademark and copyright, which is all sort of baroque and uninteresting to me. So I'm told all my scripts are totally kosher.
Good.
Dynamite, to their credit, they've been offering the first series. They offered the first series of Warlord of Mars for $1. They're offering the first issue of Lord of the Jungle for $1, which is great. So it gives people an opportunity to jump on board for very little cost. I mean, it's a big risk on Dynamite's part. They're a smaller company, but they believe in the comics that they put it out there. So you're basically reading the first issue for way less than cost. I mean, way less than the cost to produce it. So it's a very good deal, I promise you.
Well, it's interesting because apparently worked really well with the Warlord of Mars.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't blame them for doing this again because it worked so well with that. Now, question I have is, though, did they, after the success of Warlord of Mars, approach you about doing Lord of the Jungle? Is that how it happened?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. And I was very flattered. Yeah.
Cool. You said you did research with Edgar Rice Burroughs. Did you have to go back with Tarzan and do that same kind of research? Did you go back and read previous Tarzan offerings?
Yeah, I read all those. And then also there have been a lot of adaptations of Tarzan, a lot of adaptations. So pretty much finding all of those, seeing how other people handled some of the problems of the original novel was a part of the process too.
Well, we talked about Disney in passing there, but Disney did an animated version of Tarzan.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good too. I think that's probably the best adaptations of all the ones that's been done. I wouldn't say it's faithful all the time to the source material, but they did a great job, especially things like Tarzan's movement is great.
Yes.
They obviously spent a lot of time studying movement, and the jungle backgrounds are great.
Well, all you need to do is get Phil Collins to sing background for your concert.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That was not the highlight of the movie.
No. I don't know why they got him for that, but
yeah.
What do I know? I mean, the movie was a success. They had an animated series on the television after it. So if they make an animated series based on your comics, I'm sure you'll be happy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So do you have any plans for Lord of the Jungle? Are there stories you're going to particularly follow? Are there things you want to do with the book?
You know, I was really surprised at how little all of the adaptations follow the original novel. And the original novel is great. I mean, really, the only similarity is the idea of someone raised by apes in the jungle. So we are going to try, as far as I know, for the first time. I mean, I haven't seen all of the Tarzan adaptations, but we are really going to try to stay pretty close to the original story.
So you're educating us when you do these kinds of things.
Hopefully it's not. Yeah.
Those of us who have not necessarily read the original books are actually getting to learn that.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, in the novel, he actually can't speak. English is difficult for him to speak, not because he's not intelligent, but because his first language is French.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're basically going to do what the books are doing in the sense that you're going to have a lot of the same characters? Are you going to introduce new characters? Are you going to do something to make this your own, or are you going to try to be as faithful to the original as possible?
You know, one of the problems with Tarzan is there's just a lot of racism in it.
Mm.
I don't want to judge Edgar Rice Burroughs. It was written a long time ago. But at the same time, parts of it are really, really hard to read. So that necessitated making some pretty big changes. I don't want to give away too much because it will spoil some surprises. But yes, there will definitely be big changes. I mean, you know, anytime you do an adaptation, you have to change things. You have to put your own imprint on it. And that happens whether or not you want to.
Mm-hmm. But you as a storyteller telling the story, and you can't help but put your own imprint on it because you tell stories that are appealing to you.
Yeah, right.
So that makes sense in that.
Exactly. I don't think anyone has the power to do a definitive take on a character like Tarzan. It's just not within my ability. It will automatically be my perspective on the character, the artist's perspective. So many things go into it.
Oh, that's good. Now, do you know when the first issue is coming out?
Yeah, I think it's in December. Yeah, you can check out Arvid Land or arvidnelson.com. I try to keep it updated with all my stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it's December 14th.
Mm-hmm. Well, the art looks cool. What I've seen of it looks really great. Are you going to have Alex Ross covers, are you?
Yeah, Alex Ross, Paul Renault Oh, a lot of great covers. So excited for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that'll be coming out. That's monthly. So you'll have at least two monthly comics going on, you know, possibly more as if things develop. So you're going to be keeping pretty busy. Are there other projects that you're working on that you'd like people to know about?
I'm working on a novel, which is something I'm undertaking on my own. I don't have an agent or a publisher or any clue what I'm doing, really. But that is the other thing that is taking up all my spare time.
Okay, according to your website, is it The Seven Branches?
Yeah, yeah. The first novel is called The Band of the Crow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little idea as to what it's about?
Yeah, it's fantasy. I love fantasy so much, but I feel like so much of it is very, very stultified now. It feels very generic in a bad way to me. So a lot of it was about going back to the original Celtic myths, going back to the Norse myths, kind of looking at them with a fresh eye and seeing if there isn't a different way to approach the material. Also involving Christianity a lot and religion in general. Religion in general really, really interests me. I think that's one of the best things about Dune, the novel Dune by Frank Herbert, is how he approaches religion. I think he does it in a very, very powerful and real way. I don't think you can write a fantasy novel without considering religion in some way. So all those things will be a part of it.
If sci-fi approaches you and they want to do a Seven Branches miniseries like they did with Dune.
Yeah, hey, we'll talk.
Hey, okay. It's been good talking with you, Arvid, and much success. As soon as I hang up with you, I'm going to go order Zero Killer so I can take a look at that because you've got me all interested in that now.
Well, thanks, Wayne. Well, drop me a line. Let me know what you think. If you like it, hate it, let me know.
Okay. I will definitely do that. And we'll talk with you soon, I'm sure. So December, we get Lord of the Jungle. In the meantime, we have Warlord of Mars going on, other good things. Rex Mundi, six trade paperbacks. So we've got a lot of Arvid Nelson to catch up on, or if we haven't already.
Lucky you. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you, Wayne.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled.
It's Wayne's Comic Review.
Dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
First things first, you heard me in my interview with Arvid Nelson tell him I was going to get a copy of Zero Killer, and then I would take a read of it. Well, I had a chance since I recorded the interview with him to do that, and I've read the trade, and wow, is it a great trade. I really liked the way it was told. It's a post-apocalyptic story of how people in New York might survive if their whole world was basically ripped apart, and of course, people from New York probably are used to that all the time. But it's a really great and interesting story about how things are different in the world, and the most interesting character of all is Zero, the main one. He ends up paired up with a girl by the name of Stark, but Zero's got a really troubled past. He had a brother, and we don't know exactly what happened to his brother at the very beginning, but when he's meeting up with Stark, he doesn't really want her around. We come to find out why that is later on. But wow, the art is really good. The story is really well told. Lots of little surprises along the way, and we get to see Zero have a confrontation with the main baddie of the story thus far. Very, very good story. Towards the end, we get an interesting look at how things might look going forward. And I do hope we get to see more of Zero Killer. It's really a great, great story. One of the great things about the trade is you get the little story that wasn't included in the individual comics, but came out on Free Comic Book Day back in 2007. And that's a kind of another fun little story. It's interesting. It's a little violent. If you don't like violence or bloodletting, good things like that, this might be a little much for you, but I gotta say, the storytelling is gonna have you grip from the moment you open up the first page. I would get out and get the Zero Killer trade paperback. It's just great storytelling all around. I really like it. I just think this could end up as a movie. It just has a great, great feel to it. So, Mr. Nelson, I like Zero Killer. I really do. I hope other people pick up on it as well. Okay, let's take a look at the books that came out this week. My favorite book of the week was The Vault Number 3. It hit the stores this week, but I actually got to read it during the recent New York Comic Con. It's such a great book. When I got a copy of it, I ran to a place where I could sit down and read it, and once I read it and enjoyed it so much, I had to go back and tell the folks how much I really loved it. This is going to be made into a movie, and boy, does it deserve it. It's a great story. Whenever people get involved in stuff that they don't understand, it never fails, things go awry, and that's what happens in this. Very much like Outer Limits. So if you like that kind of story, which is kind of interesting, interesting characters, interesting action, interesting situation, I think you'll like The Vault. This is Vault Number 3. I expect there'll be a trade very soon, so don't miss The Vault. Now, this week we got several great New 52 books from DC. The one that I liked the most was Batman The Dark Knight number 2, which had a lot of great twists and turns in it. I particularly enjoyed the last page in which the Joker uses a line from one of the previous Batman films like that. The one I enjoyed next was The Flash number 2, which explores just what having super speed would do to somebody in real life, including his thought processes, which I liked. Teen Titans was really good, and the group continues to form. Next, I enjoyed Superman. Mr. George Perez, my favorite artist, continues to make such good storytelling. I'm sorry he's going to only be on the book for a while. Aquaman number 2 wasn't really as strong as number 1, unfortunately, but doesn't mean it was a bad book. It was great stuff. We're getting a look into his life, and it's going to be fun to see where he goes from here. The Savage Hawkman. I love the Hawkman character. It's nice to see him being given a good run, and Carter has to face a very dark foe, which I liked. Speaking of dark, Justice League Dark came out, and it's continuing to build the team together just as well as Teen Titans is. I like that a lot. It's a good book. Green Lantern New Guardians number 1 has a wonderful last page on it. Kyle Rayner is surrounded by rings, and they all sort of plunk on his hands at the same time. Interesting reaction. All-Star Western is a very good book, too, with Jonah Hex into Gotham and looking into the Gotham families. The Fury of Firestorm is really good. I think that Gail Simone's doing a pretty good book on that. It's one of the underrated books of the New 52. Also, a miniseries called Legion Secret Origin number 1 of 8 came out and has giving some interesting information on the Legion of Superheroes. I also liked I, Vampire and Voodoo. They're really good. They don't stand out from the rest of the bunch as much as other people do. I think Gianluca likes I, Vampire quite a lot, but I'm okay with it. Other books that came out this week that really deserve your attention. Gladstone School for World Conquerors number 6. What a great book that is. I'm enjoying that a lot. Walking Dead number 90. Both of those are from Image. Star Trek Ongoing number 2 from IDW. Avengers Academy number 20. Venom number 6. And Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz number 2 of 8 came out from Marvel. I like all of those. From Boom Studios, we got Planet of the Apes number 7 and Incorruptible number 23. And we got Game of Thrones from Dynamite, as well as The Sixth Gun number 16 from Oni Press. That is such an impressive book. I really like that. I'm hoping to get those creators on here before too very long. And those are the books that came out this week.
This is Mark Waid.
Hi, this is Amanda Tapping.
Hello, I'm Steve Pugh.
And you can catch them all right here on SFP Now. Join us at sfp-now.com.
Now it's time for this week's news and previews. Of course, with me, as always, is Gianluca Glazer. How are you, Gianluca?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Ian Cullen, how are you, Ian?
I'm feeling all good and in a mood for Halloween.
This podcast will be out on Halloween, so I'm glad you're that way. So let's start with Ian. You've got a couple of things to start with, so why don't you go ahead and get going?
Yes, I've got a couple of quick news shots. There's going to be an auction, and I think it's going to start on the 15th of November. It's through the Heritage Auctions, and they have an original 1942 piece of Batman cover art from Detective Comics issue 67 up for auction. It says the original Batman cover art, Detective Comics 67, featuring the Penguin, is expected to bring 300,000 plus at Heritage Auctions. Three iconic Golden Age DC covers, treasures from Jerry Robinson collection, offered on November 16 as part of comic and comic art auction in Beverly Hills. And basically, they got the cover art from Batman, and they got a vintage and comic art art signature collection. It's going to take place in Beverly Hills, and all the information should be on the comic book segment, you know, in Comic Book Corner on scifipulse.net.
It's got the Penguin on the cover, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, it's an interesting piece of art that none of us will be able to afford.
Mm-hmm. Keep a low-res picture on our computers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm keeping the low-res picture on my website here. So, and the other news is basically Rock Comics, which is a digital comics company here in the UK that specializes in a lot of different strips, that even got the licenses to use some of the old British newspaper strips. They've actually partnered up with Strip Comic Magazine. And basically, Rock Comics, Britain's dedicated mobile comics publisher, is pleased to announce the launch of a digital edition of a new UK adventure anthology comic strip magazine, which is published by Print Media Productions. Initially only available in print in dedicated UK comic shops, The digital edition of the first issue is now available worldwide for iPad from the Apple iTunes Store. Published by a new graphic novel and magazine company, Print Media Productions, Strip Magazine Issue 1 is an adventure anthology comic featuring some great art and stories from some brilliant creators, including PJ Holden, who's done Judge Dredd, John McRae, who's done Hitman and The Boys, Michael Panic, Insurrection, and many more. Also, a fully remastered version of a classic British comic strip, Hookjaw. This is the first issue you will not want to miss. I've got such a Sean Connery's then, I think. No one to bitch. Basically, Rock Comics have partnered with them to bring this online, and you can actually get it on iTunes now. If you just type in, I should imagine type in Strip Magazine, and it will come up on iTunes. But we've got all the links and whatnot on the website. Again, you can find that story in the comic book corner segment of scifipulse.net.
All right, cool. Okay, Gianluca, what have you got?
All right, a few things. IDW announced that they are adapting the Mars Attacks popular game cards of the 50s, 60s to comic books starting in the summer of 2012. I'm sure there's going to be like a lot of talented people involved in it. And if it's anything like what they did in Rocketeer Adventures, you know, I'm really excited to see this. Mm-hmm. It was announced also from IDW that they're doing three more of the Parker crime books, the ones that Darwin Cook has done recently. He did The Outfit and The Hunter. Mm-hmm. He's currently right now working on The Score. Mm-hmm. So in addition to The Score, there's going to be two other Parker books out right now. So that's really cool to hear. Mm-hmm. In other news, this is kind of something interesting, but Diamond Comic Distributor that handles distributing all the comic books to all the comic book retailers. Mm-hmm. Now, Marvel ended up having a screw-up with Kick-Ass Volume 2, Number 5. It didn't make the previews for, I believe, the November release. It wasn't listed in the previews that would advertise it, which I believe was September's issue. Mm-hmm. So kind of what happens is when a publisher is releasing a monthly book and forgets somehow to list that book in previews, then Diamond does a thing where they announce online that you can order it. The window of ordering is much shorter, and obviously nobody reads it, you know, mm-hmm. or sees the announcement, mm-hmm. which was obviously the case here because the orders were so low that obviously Mark Millar, who we all know and love, writer, Kick-Ass and Marvel, the Millarvel team, basically talked to Diamond, and Diamond made a special concession for them. They basically took the numbers that retailers ordered for issue number 4 and matched it for orders for issue number 5. Now, before anybody gets up in arms over it, they extended the final order cutoff date for like a month. So basically, the retailers have like a month to look, notice that they have an unusually high order for Kick-Ass number 5, and can adjust it accordingly. Lowering or raising it, you know, before the cutoff date. So, interesting bit of news there for people in the know, because that's kind of a first for Diamond doing that, you know, going in there and physically changing like retailers' orders. Even though it's not a permanent thing, it still is something that they've never done for anybody.
Hmm. That is interesting.
And going back to, you know, the Parker, since we're on a crime kick, mm-hmm. I'm happy to say that Criminal, like the very first storyline, it was called Coward mm-hmm. by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. Mm-hmm. It's being adapted to a film. Mm-hmm. David Slade, who directed 30 Days a Night, he's attached to direct it. And thankfully, Ed Brubaker, who created the whole Criminal universe, he's going to be adapting it for the screen, too. Mm-hmm.
Really cool. Very interesting.
Yeah. In other news, for Image Comics, Moriarty has a issue number 7 coming out in December, and they are happy to announce that in this particular issue, Mike Vosburgh, a veteran artist, is going to be contributing. It's like a flashback or a story sequence within the comic book, so he's going to be doing the artwork for that, just for this one issue. But it's really cool. It's an ongoing series, Moriarty, and so issue number 7 is part 3 of the second story arc called The Lazarus Tree. And if you haven't checked out Moriarty, please do. It's really cool. It's from the Sherlock Holmes world. Basically, it takes place after Holmes had died. It follows the character Moriarty, who's well known as being a villain in the
the original books. Mm-hmm. And then I guess last bit of news, pretty IDW heavy, with the exception of Moriarty, but IDW has announced that they're doing an ongoing True Blood comic book series now. Mm-hmm. So they've been doing miniseries for True Blood based on the popular HBO show. And so now they're going to be doing a full ongoing True Blood comic book. If you like True Blood, you should be happy.
It's funny you should mention that. I mean, I like True Blood, but you know, I don't really like it enough to get an ongoing comic. Mm-hmm. But Raisa, one of our readers and regular listeners, did send me a press clipping about that a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm.
Well, as I understand it, Ian, you don't go much for comic book translations of things like Star Trek and the Muppets and things like that. You prefer that they're screen things, that they stay on the screen.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously I've mellowed somewhat on that with Planet of the Apes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it just has to be an extremely good adaptation, and the characters actually have to look like the characters that are on the screen. I don't like artist interpretation thereof. If they're going to draw Captain Kirk, I want him to look like Captain Kirk.
Mm-hmm. The reason why I bring that up is because Star Trek Ongoing number 2 came out, which concluded the first story, which was a redo of Where No Man Has Gone Before. And then now the next one they're going to go into is Galileo 7. So we'll be seeing them translate that into the new Star Trek universe, quote unquote. But it's interesting. It's not a bad book. It's something to buy. I mean, if we had to wait so long for the movie to come, you know, I'd rather have a little comic or something to keep me satiated. But before we move on, I want to go back to Ian, and I want to ask you to get our weekly Batman Arkham City update.
Well, you know, to be honest, I've only really played about another 2 hours. Game. I actually located the first off, I'd rescue Catwoman when I last spoke to you guys, hadn't I? Mm-hmm. The level after that, you have to track down a Joker. Mm. After a good couple of hours of play, I figured out how to eventually track down a Joker and found him. And you know, basically, he's been telling us that he's dying and stuff like that. Mm. You know, in all his radio communications, he wasn't the Lion Tolrag. You know, I catch up to him, and I after fighting loads of copious amounts of bad guys, and I go into the Joker's lair sort of thing, and all of a sudden I'm whacked over the head by the Joker's main squeeze.
Harley Quinn,
yeah. She knocked me over the head with a big sledgehammer, and all of a sudden tied up and kept prisoner, and Joker's taunting me and says, "Oh, I'm all right," sort of thing, but, you know, I'm, you know, just to show that I'm a kind and generous spirited person, I'm just going to inject you with this virus sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So now I'm around on a mission to find Mr. Freeze, because he's the only person that has the antidote to the virus. So I'm having to find what exactly is the coldest part of Gotham City. And I've tracked him down as far as Gotham PD, the old forensics labs. But I've not been able to find him just yet, because I keep getting diverted by a few side missions and getting lost and not being able to backtrack back again. So it's quite difficult, but I'll tell you something. There's another Catwoman level, because I've got a version of the Catwoman avatar and the Catwoman missions. Now between the start of Batman's quest to find Dr. Freeze on the version that you got the Catwoman missions, there's a bit where Catwoman has to go back to her home and get her equipment. So she beats copious amounts of bad guys to get home and get her equipment. And there's another bit where she has to go to Poison Ivy in order to enlist help. And she goes to Poison Ivy and she winds up getting captured again. So I've got a feeling that the Catwoman missions in this game, it's just going to be Catwoman getting constantly captured so Batman can keep on bloody rescuing her. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it'll be interesting to see how this develops. I keep reading good things about it. We found out that the sales were good. It's likely to sell 4.6 million units, where Arkham Asylum sold 4.3. The game's doing real well, so I think it'll be an interesting thing to see how this goes. We'll have to check in and see next week what you're up to there, Ian.
Well, I think at the moment I'm just going to concentrate on some of the sub-games and mess about with those.
Okay.
Because the Nightwing add-on comes out on the 1st.
Right.
So, you know, I've got 500 Microsoft points on my account, so I might just get the Nightwing add-on and give that a go.
Okay. As far as the previews go, Ian, you're kind of light on that this week.
I don't get the preview magazines like you and Gianluca do, so I don't really know what's coming out at any given time.
Well, what we'll do then is we'll go to Gianluca, and why don't you go ahead and talk about what's coming out this week or coming out in the future that you're excited about.
Well, there's quite a few things coming out November 2nd. There's a trio of Image comic books to take note of. First of all is Heart Number 1. It's written by Blair Butler, who works on G4 TV. So it should be interesting. It involves the world of mixed martial arts. The other two titles from Image are Moriarty number 6, which I already mentioned Moriarty number 7 earlier. Mm-hmm. And then Marksman number 4, which is through Image Comics from Ben Arroyo Publishing.
Yeah.
The city of San Diego gets destroyed. The new San Diego City. So definitely check that out.
Well, I wonder what they'll do for Comic-Con next year, then.
Yeah. Probably hold it in my front room.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Squeezing 150,000 people in my front room.
So some interesting titles from DC going on sale November 2nd as well. You have Detective Comics number 3, mm-hmm. Animal Man number 3, OMAC number 3, which I read recently the first issue and I really enjoyed it,
mm-hmm.
Swamp Thing number 3, mm-hmm. and then this is something that if you picked up any of the previous week's issue number 2 books from the DC Universe, you might have seen a thing in the back for Batman Noel,
mm-hmm.
a preview of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes on sale. It's a one-shot graphic novel. It's a hardcover. And the story and artwork is from Lee Bermejo. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but he was the artist for the Brian Azzarello Joker book.
Yeah.
Do you know how much that's going to be? That's retailing for. It should have been quite expensive.
It's $22.99.
Yeah.
$22.99.
That's going to be £22.99 in this country then.
They may release a paperback.
But... Mm-hmm. It'd be smart if they put that out just before Christmas so people could buy it.
Is Stormwatch out this week as well? Because that usually comes out the same week as Detective.
Yes, Stormwatch number 3 is out this week.
Yeah, there's another one I get that. You know, I think I'm not sure if there's another one I get that week. Planet of the Apes should be out, shouldn't it?
Oh, there's a new Betrayal of the Planet of the Apes number 1 debuts November 2nd.
What about the rest of Planet of the Apes? Is that coming out?
I didn't notice. I think part 7 came out recently, maybe last week or the week before. We had the regular series.
No Planet of the Apes this week, except for you're right, Beyond is the only one that's coming out for Planet of the Apes.
So, new miniseries from Boom, mm-hmm. in the Planet of the Apes universe. Boom is also debuting Peanuts issue number 0.
Yeah.
For their kids line.
Yeah. So I'm going to get that.
That's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Then Dynamite is releasing Dark Shadows number 1, based off of the television series that's also being made into a movie.
Good bit of news about that, actually. I seen it somewhere the other day. It's about a movie. Apparently, they've given Alice Cooper a role.
Oh, interesting.
In the film. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Mm-hmm. And then a title maybe people may not have noticed or remembered, but Grant Morrison did a book called Joe the Barbarian.
Yes.
And the hardcover trade for that goes on sale November 2nd.
Yes.
That book was often delayed.
Yes, but it's a good book. It's a great story. It's going to be $29.99, and I am looking forward to getting that because I love the story. It's about a diabetic boy who, when he goes into a diabetic shock, he finds himself in an alternate universe where his rat is a huge soldier rat. And some interesting thing, they keep referring to him as the boy who died. And I love that story. I thought it was a great story. It was hampered by production problems, but now the whole story is coming out together in a hardcover. You know, I'm going to be anxious to have that. People may want to get the trade, but I love that book. That was a great book.
So, yeah, it's a good week for comics.
Yeah. Let me hit a couple of other highlights while I got a chance. Action number 3 is coming out, which is a good one. Batwing number 3, which I'm liking a lot more than I thought I would. Green Arrow number 3, which Ian won't be getting. Hawk and Dove number 3. Men of War number 3 is a good one. My friend Tom Doranik does the art on the first part of that book. One of the few $3.99s that are out. Red Lanterns 3, OMAC 3, Static Shock 3. The third printing of Swamp Thing number 1 is coming out. I find that interesting. I didn't think Swamp Thing would get a third printing, but it looks really good. Other books that are coming out, Avengers Academy is coming out from Marvel, which I really like. Oh, Infinite Vacation number 3 of 5. The Infinite Vacation is a well-named book because it's taken an infinite amount of time for this book to come out. Number 1 came out, and then they put number 2 out like 6 to 8 months later, and they reprinted number 1 so people could catch up. Well, now we got number 3. Poor thing, 6 to 8 months. That's a long time.
Artist must be on a vacation.
That's what I'm thinking. Or somebody's on an infinite vacation. That's what's going on for that. But it's a good book. Nick Spencer, of course, is the writer. I like his crazy stuff. So very, very good thing. Warlord of Mars number 12. Since Mr. Nelson is at the interview this time, I want to make sure that people know that's coming out this week. Then we'll call it quits for this episode of News and Previews. Thanks, guys.
Wait, well, we're ahead.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay, the local comic book stores have been safe for me for a couple of weeks, but let's take a peek and see what has arrived in there recently. There is a very expensive Batman Begins sculpture for $295. Now, I'm a big fan of Batman, and in the old days when I had lots of money, I probably would have that on my list and probably get two of them. Those days are done. I don't even know what it looks like anymore because it's just way out of my price range. So I'd be curious to see what it looks like. No, I'm really curious about it. I love that movie. That was such a great movie. There are several t-shirts that are out with Batman. There's a Batman Grasp by Williams. And there's also a Batman Happy Family by Nguyen. So that should be kind of fun. There's Batman Year One BD and DVD. This is one of those direct-to-DVD films from Warner Brothers done by Mr. Tim. Always good. I did enjoy this movie. I reviewed it in the recent Comics Portal column if you want to take a look and see what I thought of it. Some of the wall calendars are starting to show up. There's a Doctor Who 2012. There's also Doctor Who Face of Evil Leela action figures. There's also Doctor Who Silent Stars Go By hardcover. So lots of Doctor Who good things. There's a Green Lantern Emerald Warrior by Ivan Rice t-shirt that's out. There are Sesame Street plush dolls that are out, which is kind of interesting. Harry Potter Dumbledore wand pin and bookmark for $9. That's not too bad. There's a Harry Potter page to screen hardcover, $75. You can be a little more of a fan to get that. There's Harry Potter Voldemort wand pin and bookmark, as well as a Harry Potter himself wand pin and bookmark. Then we have Marvel erasers, a bunch of erasers, only about $1.99 each, so that's not much. There's Captain America, Deadpool, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Thor, and Wolverine. We gotta have our Wolverine erasers. Those are all in there. There's also the Marvel Universe 2011 trading card album, as well as the box to keep those trading cards in. There's a t-shirt for the Metal Men by Kevin Maguire, who did that miniseries, which was great fun. I like that, so that's worth getting. There's a Pop Marvel Red Skull vinyl figure for $10.99. That's still down in the affordable range. On the other hand, there's the Star Wars Basic Blaster, which has the dreaded PI, and that means please inquire, which means if you're asking, you probably can't afford it. Speaking of dreaded PIs, there's the Star Wars Force FX Kit Fisto Removable Blade Lightsaber and the Force FX Luke removable blade lightsaber. So that's going to be a little much. But the big item of the week, which costs a whopping $1,300, and unfortunately it's coming out after Halloween, it's the Star Wars Shadow Trooper Supreme Costume. 1,300 smackers. Wow. You better be a real Star Wars fan for that. The rest of us can probably afford the Star Wars True Anatomy black t-shirts, which are only $16.99. There's a Thor bust bank for $14.99. Transformers glasses t-shirt and a Transformers mustache Heather Gray t-shirt. There's Walt Disney Animation Studios Archives, $50. And then there is, of course, the Zombie Survival Handbook softcover. And to go with that, you have the Zombie Ultimate BD and DVD, Blu-ray and DVD. I should say BR instead of BD. I don't know how to do that. But anyway, your zombie stuff, it's a little late. Halloween would have been nice to have these for. But your Survival Handbook and your Zombie Ultimate Blu-ray DVD are now ready. And those are the items in your comic store this week. And that's a wrap for the 33rd episode of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. As I like to mention occasionally, if you would like to support Ian Cullen and I in our efforts to provide a quality website and quality podcasts, you can make a donation by going to scifipulse.net. That's scifipulse.net. In the upper right-hand corner, you will see a donate button. And you can press on that and donate any amount. Any amount you'd like to give would be very helpful for us. It doesn't go in our pockets, though. It goes to pay for the website and pay for the podcasting, all kinds of good expenses that we've incurred. And we're happy to do it, but we would really like some help if you'd be interested in supporting us. So be sure to do that, and we'll be back next week. And until then, keep reading your comics.
So I leave, knowing that a world full of heroes has nothing to fear.